of you guys had parents that were too hard on you. And so there's a craving in you just for grace. You want someone to say, hey, you're doing a good job, rather than to think that you're constantly living on the edge and that everyone is looking at you and judging you. We have these internal cravings that are being filled with whatever it is that we think will satisfy it. It is, I think, the epidemic of today.
It's time now for the Autumn Miles Show.
Hey, hey, guys. It is your girl, Autumn Miles. I am pumped, so excited. I am all about this recording because today we are starting our next series, which is Food for the Soul, okay? And I am super excited about it. We're going to talk about it after the break, and it's not going to be like chicken soup for the soul, like that old whatever that was, that... I don't think it was a devotional. I don't even remember what it was. But it's not going to be chicken soup for the soul. We're talking about food for the soul. We are going to go through things that you are starving for. And we are going to see people from scripture who are hungry for the same thing and how the Lord filled it. You guys, it is going to be incredibly powerful. That's going to be after the break. Please don't go anywhere. I hope you guys are doing good. We have so much going on in our life right now. I have another test this weekend for my master's degree. Actually, I could be taking it right now, but you have a week to take it. And so I always wait till the very last day when I know that I've studied all that I can. It's like, this is all that I know. So if this is all that I know and the test is going to expire, I have to take it today. And I did that last time and I got an A on it, and I missed one question, you guys, because I didn't read the question right. Talk about a stupid mistake. I was so mad at myself for doing that. But I got an A, so we're going on to the test number two. Written a lot of papers. I'm actually this weekend going to wrap up one of my classes. And thus far, I have an A in that class. So it's amazing what a little age will do on you. You got to get A's. You want to get A's. You fight for the A's. And with everything going on in my life, I still want to do it. But anyway, that's not what I wanted to talk to you about today. But y'all pray for me for this weekend. We have so many things going on in the ministry. Thank you guys for listening. I love you so much. Share this with a friend if you know that they are struggling in an area of their life, because I have just come back from Liberty University, and it is so awesome to be out with you guys to see how our ministry is affecting what you're doing and how you listen to the podcast every single week and you never miss and all that kind of stuff. You just have no idea what kind of a paycheck that is mentally for me. I love it so much. But I did just come back from Liberty University. Now, those of you that don't know this, Eddie and I met at Liberty University back in 2002. And this time it was so special. I flew my son, my 15-year-old son, and I also flew my daughter, my 18-year-old daughter, to Liberty because we wanted for them to check out to the school. You guys know that my daughter is, she's got graduation coming up. She's going to college. Well, Jude has always wanted to go to Liberty, and he's always wanted to be a pastor. And so I thought, you know what? I know you're a sophomore and you've got a couple more years, but let's just go and see it now just so we're sure. And it was unbelievable. I spoke in six or seven, I can't remember how many, it was a lot, of the women's leadership, women's ministry courses at the school. And absolutely loved on those future generation of women's ministers and women's pastors out there. It was so awesome. But Jude came with me and he was my assistant for the week. And it was awesome. I always travel with somebody. I always have, well, not always have, but I have for the bulk of my ministry traveled with people. And I said, son, you're going to come with me and you're going to help mom. And I'm very specific about things. I need water. If I speak for a long time, I like to have a Diet Coke handy, you know, those types of things. And he was just so incredibly present. He was there. He was, I mean, the kid, for a 15-year-old high school kid, he was asking me constantly, Mom, how can I help you? Mom, what can I do for you? Mom, do you need a snack? Mom, I know you're tired. Mom, do you want me to go get your flat shoes? Because I wore heels forever. It blessed my heart to sit down and to see, wow, son, you are rising to this occasion. He sat through all of those women's ministry classes. And spoiler alert, he's not going to be a women's minister. And didn't get on his phone. He never had an attitude with me. And I'm saying this publicly because I'm just so proud of him. And he did it. Like, I didn't do it. I was working. I was teaching. And he was there. And it was just beautiful to see. But it was so cool to take him on a tour of the school. We had a, you know, tour. We actually had two tour guides take us on a tour of the school. And we got to go, like, in the press box for, in the, I don't know, on the boxes for the football field, and they're a D1 school now. And we took Grace over to the theater department because she's really big in theater. And I don't know, guys, it is such, when you raise your kids in the way of the Lord, and it's not easy to do, you know, and they get it and they fall in love with him. And they are telling you verses and they're encouraging you when you are, like, overwhelmed because, you know, you're speaking seven times in a row. Man, it is just a whole different kind of joy. With all of the bad PR that generation, I think it's X or Z or Y, or I don't even know, but that generation, whoever's teenagers now, gets, let me remind you, there are kids that are gold out there. And if you're in your car or wherever you are and you're saying, that's my kid is gold, you know, and you're feeling that with me, isn't it awesome? It's just so great. So I'm super proud of him. It was amazing to see his servant's heart, where he could have been like, Mom, I don't want to help you work. He was the opposite. He was a, what can I do for you kind of kid. So we're exhausted. We got back super late last night, but he got up this morning. He was smiling and it was so adorable, you guys. I can't even handle it. Haven and Moses, I always get them up and get them bathed and ready for school and the whole nine, you know, feed them breakfast. And when Jude came down the steps to go to school, they screamed and they ran to him. And Haven jumped in his arms. And he was, like, twirling her around, and she was so happy that he was there. And it was precious. It was absolutely precious. So anyway, I wanted to share that with you. Be praying for us as we are in such a transitional stage with our kids. I know I've talked about it a gajillion times, but it's really, really cool to see where they're at. Don't miss this new series, okay? I really think it's going to help you. I think it's going to encourage you. Okay, so don't miss it. Hang with me. After the break, we will rock this first overview out. And oh my gosh, I am so, so, so excited about it. I'll see you after the break.
We have a liftoff. Yeah, stand on a rock and I roll like a lion. Demons came at me, I knew they were lying. Put on my armor and then started shining. Unloaded a clip, the spirit was flying. Pressure been building, it's all about timing. Stand on a rock, I stand on a diamond. Stand on a rock, a vessel like duck. Demons came at me, I put them in chuck. Firm foundation, my fear got popped. God on my life and he put it on lock. Holding the city since 14. Yeah. Put an enemy to sleep like it's codeine. God got my back and it's home like an OG. Yeah. So I'ma keep fighting like it's OT.
The potential for God to change lives is clear. Autumn Miles has a mission to spiritually challenge the way people think. The Autumn Miles Show and Autumn Miles Ministries are 100% listener-supported by those who have already been blessed by God's Word. Would you like to see others experience the change that you have already experienced? Consider being a financial partner with this life-changing ministry. Simply go to autumnmiles.com and click the Donate tab. While you're there, check out all the aspects of this dynamic work. Thank you for supporting Autumn with your prayers and by being a financial partner. God bless you.
Okay, guys, we are back after the break. Food for the soul. God gave this series to me probably in January. I always pray, and I'm like super weighted down with everything with school and everything, so I always pray, like, Lord, give me the next series. I know you guys love these series, and we've taken a little bit of a break from them just because I had to, because of school. I had to, you know, adjust my schedule to how in the world am I going to do school and everything. And I feel like I'm getting there. But food for the soul, this is what I'm seeing, you guys. I'm seeing that there is so many people out there that have a craving, okay? A craving for love. So they fill it with what? You answer. What do you think I'm going to say out there? They fill it with, I mean, sex a lot of times. A craving for acceptance. So maybe they'll fill that with people pleasing. I have a craving. I've got to be accepted. And so I'm going to work so hard at people pleasing. I don't want anyone to not like me ever. I'm always going to say the right thing. I'm always going to do the right thing. I'm always going to be the right thing. I'm going to, you know, kill myself in order to meet this craving that I have inside of me to be accepted. All right. There are cravings out there. Some of us have a craving that materializes as fear. A lot of times, your craving that is materializing as fear is the desperate need for stability in your life. You don't have stability. Maybe you're in a volatile situation. Maybe you just heard that they're laying off a bunch of people at your job, or your bonus wasn't as much as it was supposed to be, or whatever it is. And so you are feeling this need for stability. And the only thing that you can think of to fill it is to feel fearful. So that fear is actually meeting a need in you for stability, because whatever it is that our brain kind of chalks up whenever we need to fear, okay? We fear. Well, actually, what you're fearing is probably not going to come true, but what you need in order to meet that need is stability, okay? So we have these cravings. Some people have, you know, a father wound or a mother wound in them, and they crave the acceptance or the need for someone to care for them and to love them. And so they fill this, you can fill that with a lot of different things in your life. You overcompensate for things. You have to be a perfectionist at things. Some of you guys had parents that were too hard on you. And so there's a craving in you just for grace. You want someone to say, hey, you're doing a good job, rather than to think that you're constantly living on the edge and that everyone is looking at you and judging you. We have these internal cravings that are being filled with whatever it is that we think will satisfy it. It is, I think, the epidemic of today. I had a really, I was debating on whether to tell the story, but I had a really raw conversation with my son. And he was talking, I mean, he has no idea I'm doing this series right now, but our conversation really relates to this. And he was talking to me about the kids, specifically the teenage boys in his generation. And he was talking to me about the cravings that they have. And I'll spare you. I want to preserve his dignity. But he was talking to me about the cravings that they're having and how they're filling them. Okay. If your child has a need for attention, they might try to meet that need with acting out. Okay. If your child has a need for discipline, or they want discipline, it might be the same situation where they act out because of it. If your child, especially your daughter, doesn't feel loved by her dad, how does that daughter act out? She seeks love elsewhere. Do you see where I'm going with this? And more I talk to people, the more and more I realize that we are all craving something because we are human. But how we're meeting those cravings is not what will actually meet those cravings. I said a long time ago, and God kind of gave me this, is what you think you need what you actually need? We're filling cravings. Maybe your dad, as a little girl, did not tell you, you know, you were treasured and you were valued or whatever. Maybe you didn't even have a father figure in your life. Or maybe you had an abusive father in your life. I don't know what that is. And so for years, maybe you have sought love and from a man in a different capacity. And you have seen that trying to do that actually has caused you more problems. We all have things that our soul craves. And Satan is so good at telling us what we need to fill the craving with. He's an expert. Because he knows what will actually satisfy that craving. That girl that has that father wound, she doesn't need a man to fill it. CC the woman at the well, guys. And I'm not even going to go to that text, but I should have. She doesn't need that. She thinks she needs that. She thinks she wants that. And guys, I totally understand and can relate to a lot of these things that I'm telling you today, okay? She thinks she needs that, but what she actually needs is a touch from a God that tells her that I am your good father. I have not left you. I am right here. She needs an authentic touch from God the Father. That is what she needs. And that is the only way that that craving will be satisfied. But Satan is so good, you guys. He is a genius. He is so good. He is awesome at feeding you the answer to your craving. He tells you how to meet the need. He feeds it to you via a temptation. He serves it up. It smells so good. It smells so awesome. It smells, you know, I mean, where were we? We were at Liberty and we were walking by the mess hall. My son is hungry all the time, 24/7. He is hungry all the time. Okay. And we're walking by the mess hall and all we could smell is chicken. And I didn't even know it was chicken, but he said, Mom, it's fried chicken. And I said, how do you know it's fried chicken? He goes, as a matter of fact, it's Chicken Express fried chicken. You know the difference in how Chicken Express smells as opposed to Chick-fil-A smells? You know the difference? And he was like, Mom, that is Chicken Express chicken. And you know what? It was Chicken Express chicken. But that's what Satan does. He gives us an aroma. He tempts us because he knows we're craving, because he knows we're not God. He knows that there are deficiencies in our life. He knows, he's seen the hurt. He knows so easily how to fill your mouth with something that he knows won't satisfy, but you think will satisfy. He serves it up. Oh, it smells so good. You know those almonds in the mall that I think they cook them just to sell them, because I've eaten them and they're not that good, okay? Because I've walked in the mall and I'm like, we've got to have those nuts. They smell so good. The roasted ones with the sugar or whatever it is. God only knows what they put on those things. But I've looked at my husband and I said, we got to have those nuts because they smell so good. Satan will feed you a little aroma. He'll tell you, ooh, this is actually what you need. Knowing full well, it will never satisfy the craving in your heart. And so you'll fill it with what he feeds you, but you'll still crave. This is a problem. And so I wanted to do a series about it. I was pregnant with Grace. My pregnancy was horrible. I mean, I actually, it caught me by surprise. Now, this was in 2005. Yeah, she was born in 2005. This is in 2005 when I got pregnant with her. And it was January. Eddie and I had not been married. We got married in May, and then I got pregnant in 2004. So June, July, August, September, October, November, December, January. So we were married. I had to count it. We were married about 8 months because she was born in October. So I think I got pregnant somewhere along January. And I've always wanted children. I always wanted to be a mom. I knew I wouldn't be like the Pinterest mom. I knew I wouldn't be that mom. And I'm not. But I love to love. I have a lot of love to give. And I just really felt called to be a mom. Always wanted to do that. And so when we found out I was pregnant, it was a little early because we'd only been married 8 months. That's why she's so old. And you guys, I just look so young. Just kidding. But we found out I was pregnant. And it was like one of those things that was like, wow. We are going to have a baby. And I have so many miracle stories about that kid. And I've shared a lot of them on the show about how the Lord told me I was pregnant and all this kind of thing. She is so, so incredibly special. But I thought pregnancy was going to be one way. Okay. That's what I thought. I thought, you know, the commercials of the beautiful pregnant people. And now we have social media, and there was really not social media back then. But do you know the social media of all of these beautiful like pregnancy pictures where like, you know, the stomach is their little baby bump is just so cute. And they're wearing the cutest clothes. Clothes were ugly back then. OK, we looked about 60 pounds heavier than we were. Nothing was cute. The maternity fashion industry didn't even exist yet, okay? I hated everything I put on my body for pregnancy. I hated it because it wasn't cool. It was ugly. It was terrible. And leggings weren't really a thing either. Like, people didn't wear leggings. They wore cargo pants, which actually, I've just bought a pair of cargo pants. So they're coming back around, guys. But they were so cool back then, all right? I have like 6 pair of cargo jeans I've bought in the last couple months. Anyways, I thought it would be beautiful and it'd be wonderful and it would be awesome. I never predicted, ever, I would have a problem with pregnancy, ever. I just never thought about it. I just thought, you're pregnant, you know, you crave some salt, you crave a cookie. I didn't know. It was so naive. What's wrong? So about 6 weeks into the pregnancy with Grace, I got extremely sick. 7 weeks, maybe it was 7 weeks. My mom was very sick with all three of us, extremely sick. We have a weird disease, which I will spare you all the details about, where it's just extreme. We just get extremely, extremely sick with kids, which is why we had 2 bio kids. That was one of the reasons that we had 2 bio kids and we have 2 adopted kids. I just got so incredibly sick, terribly sick. I mean, I was throwing up so much. I mean, sorry, TMI, but that's just what happened. Okay. I was horribly sick. It was terrible. And when I got through it, it was very later in the pregnancy. Do you know that disease, that disorder, whatever it is? I don't know. I'm not a doctor. That pregnant women have where they crave rocks and they want to eat rocks and their iron's really low. I had that. I can't remember what the name of it is. I didn't look it up. So if you know what it is, send me an email at hello@automaz.com. But I didn't crave rocks. I craved blue pine sol. I am not even kidding. Blue pine sol was all the rage. It was before Fabuloso. Now I love Fabuloso because it smells so good. So I like squirt it everywhere in my house because it just smells so awesome. But blue pine sol was all the rage. And I love to be clean. I love a clean house. I love all the things. They're everything. And so I cleaned a lot with blue pine sol because it's just like a finishing, you know, swipe on my counters and everything. And every time while I was pregnant with her, I would think to myself, all I want to do is get a glass with ice in it and drink this blue pine sol. That's all I want to do. I'm a huge ice person. My husband bought me an ice machine a couple of years ago, and I use it every single day. We all do. It's not one just for me. But we use it every single day. And all I wanted to do was get a glass of iced blue Pine Sol. My husband would come home, and he would be like, what is the deal? And I would be like, I don't know. All I want to do is drink that blue Pine Sol because I'm craving it because my iron was so low, which I did. I had like anemia or whatever. I don't know. I had to take iron pills. But I'm like, all I want to do is drink that blue Pine Sol. So weird, you guys. So weird. And yet, it was a thing. Found out really low in iron, and that was causing my craving to blue Pine Sol. I craved blue Pine Sol, but I knew that if I drank the blue Pine Sol, it would not be good for me. And ultimately, it definitely would not satisfy me. But that doesn't mean I didn't think it would be good. Anyone else? I just want to know out there, so I'm not sounding crazy. Anyone else have that weird, like, low iron thing where you crave rocks and dirt and all that kind of stuff? I had a couple friends that had it, and they were like, yes, all I wanted was to chew on some dirt. And I'm like, I know, it's so weird. It's the weirdest thing ever, but it's a thing, okay? I knew, guys, I cannot drink this cleaning agent. It will be harmful. I can't do it. But it didn't mean I didn't crave it. What I was craving was not blue Pine Sol. My body was telling me, you're low in iron and you need to do something about it. I didn't know that. I didn't know I was low in iron until the doctor took my blood and told me. I didn't know that. All I knew is that I had this need in me and I wanted to fill it with some blue Pine Sol. But I also knew that if I did that, it would be harmful to me. Therefore, I refrained. Makes sense. So when God told me, hey, this is the next series for you, Food for the Soul. I'm doing it because we've got some people out there listening right now. And you're craving something. And you think it's blue Pine Sol that you want. But I'm telling you right now, Cupcake, that blue Pine Sol will damage, hurt, be unhealthy, is unacceptable, and will not satisfy. The blue Pine Sol is not what you need. You actually are just low in some iron. And I'm using that, you know, as an example. Can we just take a minute and look inside of us? Just a second. I'm nowhere near done. What is it that you are craving? Is it true love? Like actual feeling love? Is it acceptance? Is it peace? What is it? What is it, perfectionist? What is that thing that your soul starts to crave, and all of a sudden you grab something to fill it up with? What is it? Some of you are filling up your soul with work. Some of you are filling up your soul with followers on social media. That's doing it. Some of you are filling up your soul with men or women, if you're a guy, whatever. Some of you are filling up your soul and you're realizing, I'm craving something. And I'm filling my soul up with work, but it ain't satisfying. And today, I want you to know that we are going to confront some of this stuff today. There's no need to self-medicate with any of these things. You cannot self-medicate the soul, guys. you'll turn up like the woman at the well. and maybe we'll talk about her because I've referenced her twice. We're going to take a deep dive into some of these soul cravings. And we're going to bring up in the coming days people from the scripture that struggled with the same thing. And then we're going to show you and show you how I'm going to show you how God filled that craving. Because haven't we craved long enough? Haven't we craved long enough? I want you to go in your Bibles, if you will. I've got a couple of scriptures that I want to show you. And one of the things that the Lord, as I was just thinking about this series, one of the things that the Lord has been telling me is, I am sufficient for whatever craving you have. And I want to show you examples of the Lord's sufficiency, okay? So we're going to rock through a couple of passages of scripture, and then I'm going to make a couple points after that. In Matthew 14, 13. Now, when Jesus heard about John, he withdrew from there in a boat to a secluded place by himself. And when the people heard of this, they followed him on foot from cities. Why did they follow him on foot from cities? Because they were craving. Their souls were craving. And they heard that he was doing a lot of miracles. So they left everything that they had to follow him wherever he went. Even when he was having a rest day, even when he was trying to chill out, they were relentless about following him, because when they listened to him, he would satisfy the craving that was in them. So they followed him on foot from cities. When he went ashore, he saw the large crowd. And let me tell you something. This is what he felt towards them, and this is what he feels towards you. He felt compassion for them, and he healed their sick. 15, when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This place is desolate, and the hour is already late, so send the crowds away that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said to them, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." I have preached this passage a lot, so I'm going to skip through a bunch of this stuff. They said to him, "We only have 5 loaves and 2 fish here." And he said to them, "Bring them here to me." Ordering the people to sit down on the grass, he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up towards heaven, he blessed the food, and breaking the loaves, he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds, and they ate and were what? Satisfied. They picked up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full, and there were about 5,000 men who ate, besides women and children. They ate and were satisfied. They craved it first, and then they ate. And then they were what? Satisfied. They were hungry first. They needed nourishment first. And what did God do? He provided them the food. And so when they ate the food he provided, they ate it and they were satisfied. Crave, eat, satisfied. That's what I want to get to today. The Lord told me to talk about this passage of scripture, and I really just want to kind of tell you what he said. As he brought this passage to my mind, he met their spiritual needs first. I mean, they were following him. They were running after him. They were like, "Jesus, help us! Heal my baby! You know, heal my foot! Heal my athlete's foot! You know, heal my toenail!" I mean, they were charging after him. They were like, "Let me at him." Let's read it again. And when the people heard this, Matthew 14, 13, they followed him on foot from the cities. They were like, "We're coming. We're coming." So he set them down. And what did he do first? The first thing that he did, he went ashore. He saw the large crowd. He felt compassion for them and he healed their sick. He met their spiritual need, because we know from other versions that he spoke to them, but he also healed their sick. So he was meeting their desire to be encouraged by him, and then he healed their sick. So their soul need, their practical need, which is I have athlete's foot and I need you to heal it. And then he fed them and met their necessary need. They craved. He provided the food. They ate and were what? Satisfied. When the Lord brought this to my mind, it was like he was telling me, I am more than enough. When you eat from my resources, you will be satisfied. As I was praying through this and thinking about this, it was like he was saying, I can meet every single craving the soul has. Financial need, maybe you actually do need physical food because you don't know how you're going to pay for the groceries this week. He can meet that need. Maybe you do have a craving to be healed. He can meet that need. But even more than that, he satisfied them with 5,000 men and women and children, 15,000 probably people. He satisfied them with food. Yes, he did. But he also satisfied those people's souls needs as well. They ate and were satisfied. So satisfied that they had 12 baskets full left over. He then took me to this other passage, which Deuteronomy 29 says this. These are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the sons of Israel in the land of Moab, besides the covenant which he had made with them at Horeb. And Moses summoned all Israel and said to them, listen, you have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and all his servants and all his land. 3, the great trials which our eyes have seen, those great signs and wonders. Verse 4, yet to this day, the Lord, to this day, after 40 years, the Lord has not given you a heart to know, nor eyes to see, nor ears to hear. Verse 5, I have led you these 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes have not worn out on you, and your sandal has not worn out on you. Let's keep going. You have not eaten bread, nor have you drunk wine or strong drink in order that you might know that I am the Lord your God. When you reached this place, Sihon, the king of Heshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, came out to meet us for battle, but we defeated them. Listen, Moses says something so powerful here. For 40 years, the nation of Israel had needs that were needed someone to take care of. I have led you in this wilderness, verse 5, your clothes have not worn out on you, and your sandal has not worn out on your foot. I look at the feeding of the 5,000, I think, wow, look at the cravings that Jesus is providing for all of these people all at the same time. I look at the provision of the Lord and how you can eat from his basket and be completely satisfied. And then I go back and I see how he provided for the nation of Israel. Don't you think those people thought, wow, it's been 25 years and I've had the same pair of Nikes. Don't you think those people were wondering why their Converse shoes don't have a hole in them? My son Moses cannot wear his shoes for more than 3 weeks without there being a hole in them. And we don't even know how he does it. I'll buy him a brand new pair of nice shoes. They're beautiful. They're awesome. We're so proud of them. He goes out for 2 weeks. He'll wear these things for 2 weeks. And there will be holes in the shoes. And we're like, what do you do with your feet, child? And he's like, I don't know. How is it possible that after 18 years, they did not realize that there was, you know, there wasn't a hole in their shirt, or the color wasn't faded, or something was going on with it. This shows me that God is the God that meets all of our needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. There is not a physical need, a soul need, a practical need that he does, or a practical craving that he does not have the resources to satisfy. You guys, as I was going through what I was going to talk about and the Lord started speaking to me about this, I realized there are hundreds of places in the scripture I could have gone and I could have read to you today. But I'm trying to give you an overview so we can set us up for a really, really awesome series. The crave that we have, the internal need that we have, with him, there is always a satisfying factor that he carries. If you crave it, he can meet it. If you need it, he has it. He has it. Let's move on. I want to read this. Joshua 5:12. Let's go up to Joshua 5:9. The Lord said to Joshua, "Today I've rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you." So the name of the place is called Gilgal to this day. While the sons of Israel camped at Gilgal, they observed the Passover on the evening of the 14th day of the month in the desert plains of Jericho. 11. On that day after Passover, on that very day, they ate some of the produce of the land, unleavened cakes and parched grain. 12. The manna ceased on that day, after they had eaten some of the produce of the land, so that the sons of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate some of the yield of the land in Canaan during that year. I bring that up because a lot of times we'll go to the manna in the scripture, and I have talked about that a lot. For 40 years, God provided, I don't know, a million people, I don't know, with food every single day that they didn't have to catch. They just had to collect. They didn't have to pay for it. They didn't have to work for it. It was just supplied. They craved it. They needed it. They didn't have to pay for it. But yet they reaped the benefits of it. And we talk about the manna all the time. And then the quail came. And I'll probably go to that at some point in this series. But we talk about that all the time. But also look at this passage of scripture. On the day, Joshua 5:11, on the day after the Passover of that very day, they ate some of the produce of the land, unleavened cakes and parched grain. The manna ceased on the day after they ate some of the produce of the land, so that the sons of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate some of the yield of the land in Canaan during that year. The manna didn't stop. The manna didn't cease. The manna didn't go away until God knew they were at a place where they wouldn't starve. The manna did not stop until everything was supplied for them. That's how much he can meet our need. That's how much provision he has. That's how great he is. He knew they would crave food, so he provided food for them. The point I'm trying to make for you guys today is that whatever it is that you crave, he can satisfy. He has a history of meeting our cravings. He has a history of meeting our needs. What do you have a taste for? We are going to talk about whatever it is you crave that you didn't get as a child, and it's bothering you now, and you have this need for perfectionism, or this need for people pleasing, or this need to fear and have anxiety all the time, or whatever it is, whatever the root of the manifestation of you trying to fill that craving in you has a name, and his name is Jesus. Some of you might not even know what it is. I don't know. I just have these lustful thoughts all the time. I don't know. I just have this need to prove everybody wrong all the time. I don't know. I just need them to like me. I just need it. I crave it. I need it. I don't know. I just need them to like my picture. I've got to have it. I've got that. They've got to do it. You're craving that because there's a need that's not met. And as we walk through the next few weeks, I want you to ask the Lord, where does that come from? Maybe we'll have some aha moments along the way. Maybe we'll have some aha moments where we're like, oh, that's where that came from. But I want you to know right now, That craving has a God who wants to satisfy it. And his name is Jesus. And what you're filling that craving with will never be enough. You will always need more. Because Jesus is the only well that never runs dry. He's living water. Lord, we love you today. I just pray over this series. I pray for everything in it. I pray for that one out there that says, yeah, you're right. I have to achieve. And I'm tired of achieving. I have to be loved. And I'm tired. I have to be perfect. I fear all the time. I'm anxious all the time. I pray for that person right now. Father God, that you would show them, first of all, show them the craving, and then reveal to them the root of it. In Spirit of the Living God, I ask you to do something powerful during this series. I ask you to truly come in and satisfy those whose hearts are open, maybe for the first time, for freedom in that area. We love you today. I love your word. I love how you show us time and time again that you have resources. You have practical resources. You have resources for the soul. You have resources for our bodies, body, mind, spirit. You have it all, God. You have it all. You are the I am. You have it all. You have 100% of it. You have it all. And I love you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you guys so much. I'm super excited about this series. It's going to be amazing. And I cannot wait for next week. I'll be back right after the break with a question and a story.
We have a liftoff.
Yeah, stand on a rock and I roll like a lion. Demons came at me, I knew they were lying. Put on my armor and then started shining. Unloaded a clip, the spirit was flying. Pressure been building, it's all about timing. Stand on a rock, I stand on a diamond. Stand on a rock, a vessel like duck. Demons came at me, I put them in chuck. Firm foundation, my fear got popped. Got on my life and he put it on lock. Holding the city since 14. Yeah. Put an enemy to sleep like it's codeine. God got my back and it's home like an OG. Yeah. So I'ma keep fighting like it's OT.
Looking for a passionate speaker to bring the Word of God for your next conference or church function? We've got the girl for you. Autumn Miles is the founder of the Autumn Miles Ministries with the goal of spiritually challenging the way people think. Autumn is dedicated to teaching the Bible in an engaging and relatable way so that everyone can experience the Lord in a deeper way. Autumn is a survivor of domestic abuse, and she's passionate about educating the church on how to effectively assist victims. Her message of hope and healing has been shared on the big stage internationally. Autumn is devoted to spiritually challenging people to draw closer to God. She is a passionate advocate for the Word of God, women, domestic violence victims, and adoption. So what are you waiting for? You can book Autumn for your next speaking engagement today. Just go to autumnmiles.com. Once there, just search the top of the index for the Invite Autumn tab. Click on it and scroll down for more information. Once again, that's autumnmiles.com.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Okay, guys, I have a question, a really, really good question. I love it. I have a question about fasting, they say. I'm currently fasting from food once a week, and I am an overthinker and a stickler to rules. I know that fasting without prayer is just a diet. So I always feel like I should be praying all day long on the day that I fast, literally 24/7. I feel guilty when I'm not praying. I feel guilty when I just want a break and want to watch TV for a bit or even nap. This is a precious question and I love it so much. I would say to you, fasting is about your heart, okay? It is about your heart. Now, we fast for a purpose. Most of the time, we have something that we are fasting specifically about. I just got off of a really long fast. And what I do is every morning when I know I have time, I set time aside to pray over that thing I'm fasting about, okay? I have a selected time that I am fasting. Lord, I am sacrificing for you, and this is my selected time to pray, okay? Because we have to go to work. We have to take care of our kids. We have to do those kind of things. I love so much this honesty here. I think you're being a little too legalistic on yourself. Like, give yourself some grace here. Set a time, like from, you know, 7 to 8 in the morning. I am going to be praying over this. If you need to nap, you know, the Bible also says rest. So you need to sleep. Okay. You need a nap or whatever it is. After I set that hour or whatever it is time where I'm just going to pray over this thing that I'm fasting for, then throughout the day, I'm just very conscious of it. If I start to get hungry or if I start to, you know, think about it or I get anxiety about it or something like that, I will then stop and pray as well. But you still have to live a life even though you're fasting, okay? So don't be so legalistic on yourself. Give yourself some grace, set some time, and allow the Lord to bring that thing to your mind when he wants you to pray for it too. Praying 24/7, I mean, a lot of us have jobs. So while we are to be in an attitude of prayer, you know, all the time, God also understands that we have lives. I mean, Jesus worked. Jesus had lives. He was healing people and he was doing all this stuff, but he set specific time aside in order to meet with the Lord. So that's what I would do. I love this question. It's extremely practical. Thank you so much for asking it. Okay. I have an awesome testimony here. I have been a recovering addict for the last 5 years, they say, with a few relapses over that time. I've been in many recovery programs and halfway houses, and nothing has really helped me. This last month, I decided to move away from the community I grew up and lived in. The familiar people and places I realized God was pulling me away from, not that they were bad people, but in my weakness, I cannot be around all that reminds me of my hurtful lifestyle. I'm now in a new city, a new home where I can recover. I found a new church that accepts me, and I'm able to easily take the bus there every week. In my heart, I think God was always trying to move me away from what has always been hurting me, but I was afraid to step out in faith and trust him. Now that I finally decided to trust him with my literal life, I can feel his peace over my life and in my circumstance, and I'm ready to start fresh, and I know that he's with me. Guys, that's incredible. Thank you so much for sending that in. That is just absolutely amazing. I'm so proud of you. That is so hard to do. I am so proud of you. You go, man. Let the Lord care for you. Let the Lord take care of you. Oh my goodness. It is the most incredible place to be. So thank you guys so much. I love you so much. I will see you next week, and we're going to dive face in to this incredible series. I'm super excited about it. Love you. I'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Autumn Miles Show. To find out more, go to autumnmiles.com. Once you're there, you can check out the many resources that Autumn has available. From her books and past episodes to her video series, we've got all the tools you need to help you grow deeper in your relationship with God. Once again, that's autumnmiles.com. To get connected and for more encouraging content, you can follow Autumn on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Just search for Autumn Miles in your internet browser. We appreciate your prayers and support for this ministry. It's because of you that we have been able to impact millions of people worldwide, and that we can continue to serve those who need to hear Autumn's message of victory and promise. Find out how you can come alongside us when you go to autumnmiles.com. Just search the top of the index for the support tab. Thank you for listening in today, and be sure to join us next time for another episode of the Autumn Miles Show.